I do not know how much time all of you have. There is Tirtha Gauranga Prabhu from Nepal and our Prem Niri Prabhu and others who are on Parikram and who may not have planned to attend this lecture. So for all of you, I will just tell one story about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, which I feel is important for our stay in Vrindavan. And then I will give a lecture about one verse from the Bhagavatam, which comes into, belongs to the Rasayana, Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. So those who cannot stay for the whole lecture because they have made other arrangements, I will give you a sign when I have ended my part with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then at least you have heard 5 minutes of a point, and you can continue your parikram. And those of you who can stay for the whole lecture, you're very much welcome, and I do hope to touch upon some important and practical spiritual points. Please let us all chant Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shivate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajari Satarine हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कंद राधाकंद नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुति देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्त्याख्यं नमामि भक्तिशक्तिगं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यैश्चार्कृतसिन्धुभैः च पतितानं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. When Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, one very noteworthy little leela took place, which might have happened in this area, because here was one of the sitting places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Vrindavan, there at that time, there was a big excitement. People used to talk, Krishna has again appeared in Vrindavan. He is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya in the midst of the Yamuna River. Everyone come and see. Imagine someone would come like this. Wait, stop the lecture. Krishna has again appeared in Vrindavan. He's just at Keshigat. What would we do? Run? At that time everyone ran. But they were informed Krishna did not appear during the day. Krishna would appear during the night. The servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this beautiful news. You are translating. Uh-huh. It's only 2-3 more minutes. Then you can continue. The servant also said, I want to go and I want to see Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and he was smiling his all-knowing smile. So in the night, the servant went. He was in Keshigat. Like many people, he strained to see Lord Krishna dancing in the on the hoods of the river of the snake Kaliya in the river. And when he came back, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "So have you seen Krishna dancing?" He said, "Yes, he was there." Lord Chaitanya smiled. A little later, some respectable gentlemen came, and Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Have you also seen Krishna?" And the respectable gentleman said, "Yes, he's sitting here." "No, dancing on the in the Keshigat, have you also seen?" "Oh, this is not Krishna. Listen, every evening a fisherman comes with his boat. He drives the boat, rows the boat in the midst of the Yamuna, and then he puts a light so that the fishes are attracted. And then he fishes the fishes. And ignorant people think that the boat is the body of the snake Kaliya, that the light are the jewels on top of the snake, and that this man who is standing there fishing is Krishna dancing in the midst of the Yamuna." But this is what the respectable gentleman said, "We have seen Krishna now, he is sitting here." So the servant felt very ashamed. The point which we can extract from this is that it is not so easy to see Krishna, but it is more easy to hear Krishna. Our eyes and our mind can deceive us, but if we hear from a good source about Lord Krishna, then another ears, eyes will be born. When you hear Krishna Katha, slowly the birth of the Shravana Shakshu takes place. That is the vision which comes through hearing. And the more you hear, then you will develop the eyes, the spiritual vision which is required to actually have the darshan of Lord Krishna one day, and to then engage in his personal and direct service. The gentlemen were coming, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the all-knowing super soul, used them to explain the truth of this illusion. But through hearing, we are not only protected from illusion, we are simultaneously given the Shastra Shakshus, the eyes of scripture, the eyes which develop through hearing, with which we can see spiritual phenomena. We need the birth of these spiritual eyes, these take place by repeated hearing. This was some story in connection with this, with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who through his teachings and life revealed Krishna and the process through which we could attain Krishna. You can see him here chanting. Is it correct? He chants? his sense here. So this was what I wanted to tell to our guests from Nepal, and our devotees who have come just quickly, just some point to think about, a practical application of this point would be how you can improve your hearing of transcendental literature. And devotees apply one certain method where they, so to say, practice the art of attentive listening. This is an art. When you do not practice the art of attentive listening, what will most probably happen is that you listen, but what you hear is filtered through your mind and what you already know, and you will hear about half of what is said, and the other half is what your mind interprets, and so on. So the art of attentive listening is an art where you try to reach to hear 70%, 80%, 90%, and one day 100% of what is said. And the point, the art of attentive listening is done if you really focus your attention on this question: what is said at this moment, and what does the speaker, or Srila Vyasadeva, for instance, or when you hear Prabhupada lecture tapes, in this case, if you attend this lecture, what does the speaker intend to transmit to the audience? What is the meaning of what he says? So this is the simple two points which might help us to in the art of attentive listening, so that we can get the full benefit of the Krishna Katha. But this is what I wanted to say. If you now would like to stay for the second part of the lecture, you are most welcome. But if you feel to continue your parikram, this is a good time to continue. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Our pilgrims from Nepal, huh?
Yes.
This is Theta Gauranga Prabhu, who is very close to our hearts. He came with a group of Swiss and German congregational devotees to Muktinath, and helped us very much by his kind and wonderful nature. And we are very happy that where Gauranga is, and where there is this Theta, this pilgrimage, our Theta Gauranga is also there. Hare Krishna. The verse which we will read today is from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 15th chapter, text 6, and it's very ecstatic. It is very much related to Vrindavan, because it describes to us what happens when Krishna and Balaram enter the forest of Vrindavan. We will enter with Krishna and Balaram the forest of Vrindavan. Ete linastava yasho kila lokatirtam gayantari purushanupatam bhajante prayo ami muni kanabhavadiya mokya gudam vane, vane means forest, pinaja atyanagat madaivam. O original personality, these bees, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories. which are in themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. It is described that the bees in Vrindavan who follow Lord Krishna and his elderly brother are great sages who in their past lives have performed tremendously serious austerities so that they are now always associated with Krishna. Even for the other Brijvasis, it is not easy to always be together with Krishna. See, when Krishna leaves the village of Vrindavan in the morning to herd the cows, most of the Brijvasis stay back in the village. Only the bees follow him. Let us just focus for a second on the scene which happens when Krishna leaves the forest of leaves the village of Vrindavan to herd the cows. Two types of beings become either happy or unhappy. The residents of Vrindavan become unhappy, but all the animals who have waited before the village of Vrindavan, when Krishna went in the afternoon time to Vrindavan, the animals of the forest had followed Krishna, and then they stayed and made their camp before the village of Vrindavan. They waited for the next morning to come, that Krishna would leave Vrindavan village and go again into the forest. So they became very happy. Wow! Kanaya's fact, wonderful! And they were expressing their joy with their specific animal sounds. The birds were creaking, and so on and so forth. Also the crows can never enter Vrindavan village because they make such ugly sounds, so they have to stay outside. Even now, when it's coming night time, the crows leave Vrindavan village and go to the other side of the Yamuna. At least 20 years ago they used to do it. Maybe they are not as cultured any longer, but because their sound is not so good when one wants to sleep, when Krishna wants to sleep. Radha and Krishna want to do their rasa dance. So anyways, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they leave with Krishna the village, and then the time comes where Krishna turns around and says, Ma, you have to go back and cook something so that when I come back in the evening there's something to eat. Oh, I cannot go, says Mother Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj is also there, and all the elderly people are there. We cannot let you go. And Yashoda begins to say, why do you have to herd the cows, Krishna? Why do you have to go into the forest with your tender feet? You are the prince of Vrindavan. You are the son of Nanda Baba. You stay with us. And Krishna says to his mother, no, mother, don't be afraid. Nothing will happen in Vrindavan. We will only go under the shade of the tree. And do you know that the deer, they have taken their tails and swept the ground for us so that there are no thorns. And we will simply go and dance. Don't forget, when I'm back, I'm so hungry. You must cook something. Then Yashoda and all the people of Vrindavan, they turn back. But then Krishna goes with the boys, but then they turn around again and run to Krishna. Oh, we cannot be separated from you. And then Krishna again has to assure them, nothing will happen. And Yashoda then tells to the friends of Krishna, now you go in front of Krishna, you go on the on the left side of Krishna, you go on the right side, and you go in the back, so that Krishna is protected. And then finally they enter the forest of Vrindavan. Now, at this moment, Vrindadevi sends forth all kinds of animals which she has trained in many nice acrobatic movements. They run around, they dance, and they and Krishna and Balaram, they look back, and yes, the villagers of Vrindavan are going back to the village, and they run into the forest and they play their flutes. It's almost like a young elephant who is let loose, who runs out into the forest, and they dance and they have their pastimes there. Now, whereas the villagers of Vrindavan have to go back to do their household activities, the bees follow, and they always stay close to Krishna, and therefore it is described that there are there must be great devotees who follow Lord Krishna, although Krishna hides during the day in the forest. They come and are always with him and find him. They are most intimate devotees, these bees, who follow Krishna. And this brings us to our first deep point of inspection. In Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, you will find not a single being who is unconscious. Everyone and everything there is composed of the spiritual substance which is called Vishuddha Sattva. You know all sattva, it is the mode of goodness which appears in this world in a mixed form. Even a person who is good in this world sometimes will be covered by the two lower modes of nature, which cover his consciousness almost like a blanket which covers light, so that he becomes more unconscious. See, a person who is covered by the mode of ignorance and passion, he will not be able to practice spiritual life, because he is too dull, too unconscious, too materially minded. Only a person who develops a little bit the mode of sattva, the mode of goodness, can fix his mind into spiritual life. But no person and no being and no state in this world is pure goodness. It's always in some ways tainted with passion and ignorance, and it is called a mishra. Radhi. But in the spiritual world, everything is made of what is called Vishuddha Sattva, the pure mode of goodness. There is no covering influence, and therefore there is no dullness. Everything is pure consciousness. And therefore, we have to consider this. Bees in this world are usually covered by the mode of ignorance, and they have no capability for spiritual life. But the bees in the spiritual world are so full of consciousness that they are great devotees who have performed great austerities. Let us go to another... Let us go to the plants in the spiritual world. These plants in the spiritual world, they are also of Vishuddha Sattva. In the preceding verse, it is said that when Krishna plays his flute and the plants hear it from the distance, they erupt in ecstasy. Krishna's flute is to be heard, and flowers and fruits manifest on their bodies, just like when we come in ecstasy, maybe some goose pimples, Gänsehaut, you know, is it goose pimple? Goose pimple manifest in our bodies. We are conscious being, so when we hear something which is very nice, we may develop goose pimples. So this is anything or anyone who is consciousness, that consciousness will have to manifest in some ways, in some external symptoms. Someone who is happy in his consciousness will smile. Someone who is sad will look depressed. Someone who is tired will have closed eyes and a peaceful face, and so on and so forth. And now the plants, who are also conscious, when their reaction to Krishna's flute also manifests in flowers which come, and fruits, they grow. Now let us go even one step further. Let us go to a simple cushion. No, why a cushion? A piece of rice. The piece of rice gets cooked in the pot, and then it is eaten by Krishna in the form of sweet rice. The Goswamis described this. Now the rice thing, oh, I have only served Krishna one time. He has swallowed me up. And then, this is not enough. This consciousness, pure consciousness, it will manifest again and pop into the pot again to be cooked and be eaten again by Krishna. Consciousness. It has a willpower. It has direction. It has determination. Even the cushion of Krishna, I like this so much, you have heard it a million times, but here it is a million and one time. The cushion thinks, I'm at the lotus head of Krishna, but everyone is talking about the lotus feet of Krishna. I want to also enjoy the nectar which is flowing from the lotus feet of Krishna. And then the cushion moves in a transcendental way to the lotus feet of Krishna, so that the lotus feet of Krishna are resting on him, and the cushion is like, wow, ecstasy. This is just examples. The point is here, keep this in mind, that consciousness is covered in this world in different degrees. When it's totally pure, Shuddha, then it is called Shuddha Sattva, a state which is almost not present in this world, which may be present on very high planetary systems where rishis are. But when the mode of goodness is totally pure, it's called Vishuddha. Very, very, very pure, and that is identical with spiritual things, and that is conscious. Therefore, because Vishuddha Sattva is pervading everything in the spiritual world, everything and everyone is fully conscious of Krishna. Yes. So, the bees are... Krishna is called in this verse, four attributes are given to Krishna. Krishna is called Anagha, which means he is totally without sin. Whatever Krishna is doing is Anagha, sinless. Krishna is, it can also mean free from all faults. It can also mean Krishna neglects offenses which are made against him. He said, it doesn't matter. And it can also mean, according to Sanatana Goswami, he's the savior from all miseries. Now, my dear devotees, whatever you engage your mind with, the qualities of this object will come into you. Let us say a young man and a young woman, they like the Rolling Stones. The parents don't like them. By hearing the music, by thinking about them as examples or any other people, slowly and slowly the qualities of these personalities will enter into their consciousness. This is a law. Wherever you place your consciousness, that the qualities of that place will enter that consciousness. This is a law which is very, very important for devotees to know. I have something to say to you. If you want to be in Vrindavan, you cannot place your consciousness on the problems of human beings. If you do kirtanam about the problems of ISKCON or the problems of other beings, or if you do smaranam about people and their qualities which may not be so developed, you will also, by the law of nature, absorb these qualities in your being. When you have a person whom you do not like and you speak about him or you think about him, the qualities of that person will enter your consciousness and you will become exactly like the person who you always do not like and about you whom you always talk bad. Therefore, in spiritual life, we like to discuss Krishna, who is called Anaga, sinless, free from all faults, who neglects all offenses committed against him, and who is the savior from all miseries. By doing Krishna Katha or Mukunda Katha, the qualities of the Lord will come into your heart, and by talking and thinking about mortals and their life in this world, these qualities of these people will come into you. If you want to become free of suffering in your heart, if you want to become sinless in your life, and if you want to become forgiving and towards others, you must learn to speak about Krishna. So that while you speak about Krishna and hear about Krishna, the qualities of Krishna will surely transform you. We must, for purity of the mind, you must put the all pure in your mind. If we do not learn this, but we focus our minds so much on the problems even of an institution all the time, we will not be able to develop very nicely. This is what is said here also. Krishna's glories have one quality. They are called Akila Loka Tirtha. In Sanskrit, one moment. Akila Loka means for all worlds, and Tirtha means the place of pilgrimage. At this present moment, we are at the at this Tirtha of Vrindavan, and we are informed that a Tirtha, a holy place, has a very great power, which comes into the heart of everyone who goes and visits that holy place in the proper mood. Rupa Goswami says, at a holy place there are two types of energies. One is called Taraka, and other is called Paraka. Taraka means you become free of miseries, and Paraka means you are attracted in your consciousness to Krishna. These two energies are there at a holy place. Have you sometimes noticed how when you are at a holy place, you become ultimately, your heart becomes light? I think Govinda Mohini has told me, who went on Braj Mandal Parikrama, Loganath Maharaj told me, Govinda Mohini only danced from morn till evening. You must have felt so much lightness in the spirit that your body felt also like a feather in the wind of the holy dham, in the breeze, Yamuna breeze. This is what happens when you go to a holy place and on Parikrama, on a Tirtha, your heart will become light. If you have big problems, you please go around Govardhan Parikrama and you will see how your heart becomes light. And you, and the other Paraka, you will at one stage say, Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. You will be so attracted to Lord Krishna that you will say, O Krishna, O Radha. You will see, I think you have all experienced this. This is because the holy places of pilgrimage have the power. However, you must know one thing. Narottamdas Thakur said that in Kali Yuga, the power of the pilgrimage places is not always intact, because so many people go there and leave their sinful reactions there, which are there. Sometimes you might feel when you are in a pilgrimage place, the atmosphere is very bad here. Like yesterday, we went around to Madan Mohan Mandir, and all of a sudden I felt, ugh, what is here? This is not Vrindavan Dham. And I looked into one building, I did not know from where the atmosphere was, and there were some people smoking hashish, and you could see in their faces, they really looked not in Vishuddha Sattva. You could really see another atmosphere was there, and it is described at certain places the sins of the pilgrims accumulate, and if you are there you don't feel well. Many holy places have lost their purifying power because of these piles of sinful reactions. Medyutim. However, there is one holy place which will never ever lose the power, and this is Krishna's glory. They are called Akila Loka Tirtha, places of pilgrimage for the whole world. You can always hear about Krishna, and when you hear about Krishna, you will also experience these two effects, that is Taraka, you will become free from your miseries, and Paraka, you will feel how in this katha, in this talk about Lord Krishna, you will become attracted to Lord Krishna, so that you will also one day join him. Maybe one day you will be a bee following Lord Krishna into the forest. Maybe one day you will be a gopi who tells Lord Krishna, you look for Radharani, not so easy to find her, but I can tell you where she is hiding. We should all desire to go back to that spiritual world. Prabhupada encourages us. He says, we should have that intense desire to go back to the eternal Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Our problem is we don't have a desire to go to the spiritual world. Only very few men and very few women actually want to go back to Krishna in the spiritual world. This is because this also happens to the devotees in Krishna consciousness, and this is because I personally feel to enter into spiritual life of Krishna consciousness, to enter the spiritual dimension of Krishna consciousness, there is one gate. It's like which you have to pass in your life. The gate to Krishna, to Vrindavan Dham and to Krishna consciousness is humility in the heart. And the acharyas tell us that humility is absolutely important to protect whatever spiritual understanding you have. If the devotee, while he advances in years and in knowledge and in philosophy, the devotee does not simultaneously advance in the art of humility, then even his knowledge and even his experience which he has made will rot away. The example has been given. Please give me this one fruit. If you have a fruit, this is now, what type of learning is this, Anuradha? Experimental. This is the illustration. If you have a fruit, this fruit is protected by a skin. The moment I would take away the skin, this fruit would start to rot and decompose. In fact, what we would see is, we would see 1,101,000,000 little flies coming and attacking the fruit. 1,101,000,001 or 2 flies would come and attack the fruit, and we would all wonder, from where are they coming? We thought we were the only living entities here at this place. It's amazing from where they come. So in the same way, when a devotee loses his natural, the protective peel of humility, then immediately his spiritual realizations will become attacked and will go. Immediately. It's very, very fast. You will not know, how is it that I became so miserable? How is it that I lost all my faith? What happened to my blissful years of insight and knowledge? What happened is your peel, your protection has gone. And because you are still in the material atmosphere, because you are still in the material atmosphere, some material influence of lust or of anger or whatever has infected you. Please, my dear devotees, remember this fruit. What fruit is it? A guava fruit. Krishna likes, he likes chico most. Chico, the chico fruit he likes most, I heard. Yes? So, keep this peel. Let me give you an example so that it doesn't become absolutely theoretical and that no one will take some practical lesson home. Yesterday we read, maybe we do we have your Narada Bhakti Sutra here? So we didn't bring. I read one purport of Srila Prabhupada where he said, for spiritual realization it is absolutely necessary. Now you will hear, listen please to Prabhupada. Now what is absolutely necessary for spiritual realization? I want to ask, what do you think is absolutely necessary for spiritual realization? Hear from a pure devotee. Any other? Absolute, what you absolutely need?
Mercy.
Absolute faith you need.
A human body.
A human body. Very great necessity.
Sincerity.
For spiritual realization, we absolutely require sincerity.
A desire.
A desire. If you have no desire, you can be in the best circumstances.
Master.
A spiritual master. I think there are many answers to this question. What would you say, Mark? What do you absolutely need for spiritual realization? It's a good question, isn't it? Mark likes to, you like to think about it a little more. What?
Not
so, yes. So, maybe a little bit spontaneity. Maybe that is an answer. So we all, there are some absolute requirements. Prabhupada's answer is, you must realize that you are not the body. You must know, I'm a part of Krishna. Otherwise, this doesn't make any sense to you. But a person who is not humble will always think he is a body. Even after many years that someone says, he will always think, well, I'm a little bit, you know, and a person, and he will suffer when he is not humble. Then, you know, a monkey steals his glasses. A person who is not humble, you know, he will never understand, wait a minute, I'm the spiritual soul. I'm not so much influenced by loss and gain and so on. This was just an example. I hope I gave a clear example how humility is required. It's the protective feel. There are two things in Krishna consciousness, two wheels in Krishna consciousness, which make your bullock cart of Krishna consciousness go on very nicely. One is called love for Krishna, or some attraction to Krishna, and the other, which is absolutely required, is humility. Look, here's another illustration. Hare Krishna, Jai Radhe. This bullock cart runs on two wheels. So your spiritual life will also run on attraction or love to Krishna and on humility. Very important. Radhe, Radhe. I want to say one last leela and then open the forum for any questions. This leela is very, very nice. Please listen, all you leela lovers. I heard it in Vashana and I want to tell it. Once there was a Brahmana from Haridwar. Now, I want to tell why I'm telling this leela. Have you ever experienced how when you are in Vrindavan, sometimes you are very happy and sometimes you are very miserable? Have you experienced these two extremes?
Yes.
Sometimes you think, wow, everything is just so close. And the other times you think, oh no, I'm miles away from Vrindavan. Most probably Krishna doesn't even want me here. I'm an unwanted person, not wanted, and so on. I will tell you a story about this. Once there was a Brahmana from Haridwar who came to Vrindavan. He was very poor and he wanted to take up Vrindavan Vas or residence in Vrindavan. Now, he stayed for some time in the area of Nandagram, but he always felt mental and misery and the thorns and the sun and the pigs and the... Now, one day it happened that let me see, it's a very complicated story, I have to make it, yes, so he said in his mind, this is too much, I'm coming to take shelter in Vrindavan, but Krishna seems to not want me. I will write a letter of complaint about Krishna, and then I will give it to Radharani. Your Krishna doesn't want me. So when Krishna heard this, oh no, this Brahmana wants to write a letter of complaint, he was very, very shocked. He really felt shocked. Already Radharani is sometimes not receiving me. Sometimes when I have angered Radharani, her sakis tell me, go, go, you cheater, you cannot come and touch the feet of our Srimati who is so pure. If she now gets another bad news about me, then I'm finished. One moment. Then took on the form of a little cowherd boy and he brought the Brahmana a plate of prasadam and a lota just to pacify the Brahmana so that the Brahmana would think, oh, everything is alright. The plate which Krishna brought and the lota which Krishna brought the prasadam in were the plate and the lota which previously were stolen from the Brahmana. Now the Brahmana ate, had his plate back, and he drank from his lota, but still he wanted to bring this letter of complaint to Srimati Radharani. So he went to Vashana, he came to Vrishabhanukund, where the Pujari is. The Pujari, a Brijbasi, told him, if you want to see Radharani, no problem, you just call out the name of Sridham and Sridham will bring you to Radharani. So he chanted Sridham, 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 and Sridham manifested, brought the Brahmana and brought the Brahmana into Radharani's assembly. There was Radharani with many cowherd girls, I mean gopis, and she was shining, and the Brahmana felt very ecstatic, and he went. But he wanted to give this letter of complaint about Krishna. Krishna was so heavy. He always made troubles for me while being in Vrindavan. So he went to Radharani. He wanted to give this letter. So one little gopi found him and said, What do you want? I want to send, give this letter of complaint. So at the moment, the gopi said, yes, come with me, go, let's go to Radha. The moment the brahmana came close to where Radharani is, all of a sudden he saw how next to Radha, that cowherd boy who had given him the plate manifested and then gave him the darshan, the full darshan of his beautiful form, the Krishna Rupa. And Radharani smiled at him, and the brahmana had his letter of complaint, but because now he was overwhelmed with love for Krishna, he just couldn't give it and fell unconscious on the ground. What I want to say with this, my dear devotees, Krishna may sometimes be a little heavy with us. After all, in the Gita he says, Savadaman Parijaja, give up everything, surrender to me, then I will have something to do with you. But Radharani is the merciful side of Krishna. If you turn to Radharani in a helpless way, at that time Srimati Radharani will be very merciful towards you. Prabhupada has described her as the compassionate nature of Krishna. If you want to stay in Vrindavan, you must go to Radharani first, because she is Karunamayi and Kripamayi and will give you the mercy. This is the secret. Therefore you will find someone has written out Radha, never forget, you know. Also, there is a reason we chant Hare Krishna and not Krishna Hare. We chant first Radharani's name and then Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because Radharani is so merciful and she will accept us even if we are very unqualified and very fallen. Would like to end my class with some nice verse. Please follow after me. Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madurasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karunabaratram Tato Mamanyasti Kati Nakvapi. It means I worship Srimati Radharani. Aravinda Netram, who has beautiful lotus eyes. I remember Radharani, who has such a soft smile. I worship Radharani, who is so full of karuna or mercy. Tatoma manyas, in fact, I have no other goal than to obtain her mercy. Isn't that a wonderful prayer?
Yes.
Can you feel it from the heart? If not, don't forget the peel. Sometimes we have to grow a peel, to cultivate a peel. Some of us, the peel grows very slow, like in me. You have to nourish it. Hare Krishna. So I've ended this little class. I hope that it was almost like a potpourri of so many things. I hope one of the things was something for each one of you. Please put that. Now I would very much like, if you have some questions, in this way our staying together would become a little bit more, not so one-sided that you only have to listen to me.
This is very nice, this is Brahmana, sorry, this is poor Ramana.
Yes, always the youngest people have the most comments, but what is with the oldest? Vrindavaneshwari.
But you said that Krishna is sometimes maybe heavy.
Yes.
Can it be really said like that? Or our sinful reactions are heavy with us?
Can we really say that Krishna is heavy with us?
Is there example in short? I don't know.
Or is there example or are you just speculating? Our sinful activities?
Yes, that's my understanding.
In our shastras, we know that Krishna has given the law of nature, which is if you do wrong, you will have to get the reactions to your sinful activities. And Krishna usually does not intervene when someone is very disqualified and reaps the results of his sinful activities. Krishna does not so easily intervene. Therefore we go to the most merciful incarnation, Lord Chaitanya. There is in Shastra, it says, Lord Chaitanya doesn't consider qualification or disqualification, but Krishna very much considers this. He gives immediately, if someone approaches him sincerely, he gives immediately love of Godhead. You just chant his name, Gauranga, and you must be without offenses. It is there, but Krishna is a little bit.
He waits
for the full surrender, which is difficult to give. It's difficult. There's even one verse in the Shastra that someone who goes to Lord Chaitanya, he will be flooded by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is the most. Is more merciful. It is described that in Shastra that when Lord Krishna comes, his mercy is still, he makes it dependent on the rules which he has given. But in Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, that mercy wanders around freely. Yeah, but of course you are right, Vrindavaneshwari. This is a very good point. When a devotee has some heaviness, gets heaviness, he doesn't think Krishna. You know, he knows I have done something wrong. There is even a nice verse in this connection. It comes in the part of the Bhajan Rahasya discusses humility. It says the devotee does not really pray to be immediately absolved from all suffering. He says, my dear Mukunda, and then usually you would say, Mukunda, now comes liberate me from everything because your name is Mukunda. No, he says, give me the punishment which I'm still due to receive due to my previous activities. This is something very deep. See, all of us, we have to face the reality of our conditioning. We can't run away. you know, and think. No, the karmic reaction follow us like the bad smell of an object which is not purified. So we all will have to expect that through in our lives we will go and experience the suffering. Yesterday, for instance, it was such a nice kirtan, but at the same time I just hurt my thumb so much. What does this mean? Some previous reactions are coming out, but our Simone is such a good example. He came to India to go on parigram and he went on a motor bicycle and made an accident. And, you know, really a heavy accident. Now he's a strong person and his wounds heal quite fast now. But really heavy. He could not even come on Govardhan Parikrama. So heavy. Whoa. This means some karma came. We all will have. Maybe we will be separated from our wives. Ooh. You know, this happens. Karma. Maybe we will have a broken leg. This will all happen, these things. But the devotee does not say, my dear Lord, just take this all away. He has to face what is there to face, but simultaneously he starts his way back home, back to Godhead. So he doesn't find fault in Krishna. Such story this was. Well, the Brahmana, you know, this is nothing more. This is... Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? No? Good. Daniel?
You told being humble is very important.
Yes.
So how to become humble, or how to keep it?
How to become humble?
Yeah.
You need to face the reality of your existence, then you immediately become humble. There is a book called and you need to break out of illusion. There is a book called Bhajan Rahasya, Secrets of Bhajan, and there are six beautiful verses which we have translated into German, which, if you want, we could you could copy them. I don't have them with me, but Srishti Kata could send them to you. There is a verse which I find very, very nice for my own humility. Yamunacharya, it is written by Yamunacharya, and Yamunacharya says, my dear Lord, I was drowning in the ocean of material existence, and I was swimming and swimming, and I was calling, help, help, no one helped me. Now, where I have seen that in the safe shelter of your lotus, that then I have seen that your lotus feet are the coast where I can find shelter. Now I want to swim to these lotus feet. For me, this just tells exactly my situation, and I like it very much. But you may have other verses which confront you with the reality of your existence, that you are a fallen soul in the ocean of birth and death. The moment you see this, you will become humble. But when you become deceived about yourself, then pride can enter. Wenn man sich Selbsttäuschung hingibt. How to become humble? Another very good advice is, you should come into the association of people who are more advanced than you. Sometimes we have the tendency to surround ourselves with our equals, and this is very important. But we should also take advanced association, because in that association a mirror is put before our face and we find out where we are. Sometimes we are shocked. Some people do not like to be in the association of, it's too strong for them. They run away, they don't want the mirror. There was once one man who looked very ugly. But Yashina, ooh, Haribo, toy boy. This man looked extremely ugly, and but he had a mirror which was slightly bent, so when he looked into the mirror he looked very beautiful. So one day someone brought him a birthday present. He had, you know, a guest had come to him and he had been in the mirror maybe to brush his tooth.
Take care.
You are talented with these beings. You are from Mayapur.
I know.
You know, he's also a resident of Braj. Give him this, but in a distance. Please go in the distance. Take him and, you know, give it there to him. Yeah. Rich passes, you know, in different forms. this guest saw this mirror and he saw how his face went like whoop, whoop, you know, in the mirror. He thought, when this man has birthday, I will give him a nice mirror where he can see the reality. Could see everything clear, and he brought this ugly man this mirror. And then the ugly man looked into the mirror. What? You know, it looked into his face, and it looked so ugly. What? Didn't work out. He just was ugly. When the birthday celebration was over, he took the mirror and threw it on a stone. He preferred to look into his illusory mirror. So when sometimes we feel like this, association of strong devotees is a little bit too heavy. But we should not be afraid to look into the mirror, and then we will become a little realistic. Humility in Chinese language means the vision of reality. It's identical. It's Chinese language. Vision of reality. This one. So my dear devotees, I think I want to thank you very, very much. I'm still a little bit, not so practiced in my delivery of spiritual subjects, so please forgive if everything was a little topsy-turvy today. I want to give you a little summary. I wanted to talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Leela and tell you by this Leela how important it is to listen, because then the real eyes which cannot be deceived are opened. We wanted to talk a verse from the Bhagavatam about Krishna Katha, Krishna entering the forest of Vrindavan and his bee devotees, and we talked a little bit about how important it is to chant about Krishna and think about Krishna, so that surely the sinless quality and other of his wonderful qualities will enter our hearts. We heard how Krishna, this hearing about Krishna is this safest place really in the material world, this Krishna Katha. It's even more safe than a holy place, because holy places are sometimes covered. And the most important point in our was today about the fruit. So you will, this nice Sevaik has given us some guavas. I would want to be here. Maybe Sridham, you can find out some water so that the devotees can wash, and then we will continue. We will have a little pause of about
there's a pump
even there.
Yeah.
In the back, just there. Good. So please, you all come here, and then I will give you some prasadam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Go Premanandi Arvind.